All right. We'll read from chapter 13. Five potent forms of devotional service. We've been discussing this morning, in the mornings, about how a devotee is concerned with the attitude that he or she performs devotional service. And indeed, we want devotees with attitude. We want them to have a vibrant, pronounced, definite, definitive, strong, ringing loud and clear like a bell attitude about serving Krishna. That is what pleases Krishna, and that is what attracts others to Krishna's service. When, just like the ringing sound of a bell, you have this clear, striking attitude that I am attempting to serve Krishna. That is the greatest thing. There's nothing like it. When the devotees have that kind of attitude, then Krishna works miracles through them. But without a deep conviction in devotional service, how are you going to have this striking attitude? And it's not that we don't know about striking attitudes. You can see them in a perverted way on the material plane. In relationships, people have striking attitudes toward each other. Very pronounced, very clear. Not always positive. We want a striking, clear attitude towards our service to Krishna. What else can we offer? Krishna already has everything, but he wants to see the attitude by which you serve him. We should take devotional service very seriously. And devotional service involves our internal state. What is my approach to my service? What is my attitude? How many cares do I take? How many inconveniences will I undergo? How do I strive to be steady and consistent? How do I try to put my heart into whatever I'm doing for Krishna? It is these kind of things that separate the weak devotees from the devotees who are making advancement. It's all about marching on your way to bhava. Bhava is an emotional absorption. The stage of sadhana bhakti is one of cultivation, so that gradually you attain the stage of bhava, which is preliminary love of God. Bhava is a deep absorption. You're enthralled, if you know what that word means. You're absorbed, heart, mind, intelligence. You're absorbed in trying to give pleasure to Krishna. Now, the beginning of that can be discerned even in this sadhana stage. Sadhana bhakti means you're following rules and regulations and prescriptions so that your natural love of Krishna will be revived. The mysticism of Krishna consciousness concerns attitude and desire. Not just rendering mechanical devotional service with your body, but focusing your mind and desires upon that service. Then you see big changes. Otherwise, you may wonder, well, I see some devotees have been around for some time and they just don't seem to be that absorbed. They just don't seem to be that focused in terms of their attitude. Why is that, you may wonder? And you may wonder, should you be like that? Is it inevitable that you will be like that? No. We need to realize that we're offering our attitude to Krishna. How we approach our service. Of course, first we have to have some service to approach. How much care we're willing to take in executing that service. That is something that can be easily dealt with if you think clearly about it. For example, whatever service you have, you should learn how to do it as best you can. If you're a cook, you should learn how to be the best cook. If you're distributing Srila Prabhupada's wonderful books, you should absorb yourself in everything necessary to execute that service. Whatever you're going to do, management or pujari, just think how I can improve it, how I can improve myself. These things are the telltale beginnings of love. But how would you like it if someone treated you in just a casual, offhanded way? You wouldn't appreciate that very much. But if somebody would sacrifice for you, oh, you'd love it so much. Everyone's like that. Because they're persons, and Krishna is the supreme person. Bhakti yoga means using all the senses, mind and intelligence, and desires, and absorbing them in Krishna's pleasure. This is our goal, this is our practice, this is our routine, this is our joy. There's nothing like it in the material world. Nothing. Rupa Goswami has stated that five kinds of devotional activities, namely, residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, are so potent that a small attachment for any one of these five items can arouse devotional ecstasy, even in a neophyte. Just a small attachment for one of the five can arouse devotional ecstasy, even in a neophyte. That is the value of the temple. Sometimes you may wonder, well, what's the point? Being here with all these people, you can look around you, and I'm sure many of you would say, ordinarily, in the material world, you would never associate with any of these people. He's looking at Moni Bandhan. Yeah. It's a fact. You just wouldn't, But for the cause of serving Krishna, for the sake of serving Krishna, so many different material types are thrown together. And it becomes a little austere and inconvenient sometimes. So you may begin to think, well, what's the point of all this? You may lose track of the goal. But just think what the temple community can offer. It offers all five of these potent forms of devotional service, any one of which can arouse devotional ecstasy, even in a new bhakta or bhakta. What are those five again? Residing in a holy place. That not only refers to Mathura Vrindavan, but wherever the Lord has his presence as the deity, that's also the Dham. Worshipping the deity of the Lord is our hope that one day you'll install your Gaur-Nitai deities. Installing means that you've made a formal contract with the Lord to render service, and therefore he reciprocates more. Reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam is saturated with Krishna praying. And when you hear Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, it is especially potent. It has special flavor, rasa, in the association of devotees when you hear it. Serving a devotee. We're all trying to assist Srila Prabhupada in fulfilling his objectives. So, we're both serving Srila Prabhupada and we're serving the servant of Srila Prabhupada. And, of course, chanting Hare Krishna. We spoke some mornings ago about how that should be the number one priority of our life, and we should organize our whole day around that. All the ashrams can do that. If you'll start to do this as a new devotee, your spiritual life will be very, very potent. If you can do like this from the very beginning, make the chanting of Hare Krishna the number one practice, the number one activity of your day, and you will very quickly and easily realize Krishna consciousness. For some devotees, it takes them many years to come around to this conclusion. Some may never in this lifetime. Regarding worship of the form of the Lord, or deity, Rupa Goswami has written the following verse. My dear friend, if you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, then don't look upon the form of Krishna, who is standing on the bank of Keshigat, a bathing place in Vrindavan. He is known as Govinda, and his eyes are very enchanting. He is playing upon his flute, and on his head there is a peacock feather, and his whole body is illuminated by the moonlight in the sky. You're meant to see these things. Krishna's body illuminated by the moonlight in the sky. The purport of this verse is that if someone becomes attached to the Srimurti, or deity of Krishna, by worshipping at home, then he will forget his relationships of so-called friendship, love, and society. Thus, it is the duty of every householder to install deities of the Lord at home and to begin the process of worshipping along with all of his family members. This will save everyone from such unwanted activities as going to clubs, cinemas, and dancing parties, and smoking, drinking, and so forth. All such nonsense will be forgotten if one stresses the worship of the deities at home. So hopefully you all have forgotten all such nonsense and given up all such unwanted activities. Now what about worshiping the deity at home? If you are fortunate to be near a temple with installed deities, that is much more potent. Presence of Krishna, because when the deities are installed in the temple, there is regulated worship which goes on regardless of any conditions or circumstances. So therefore Krishna reciprocates much more obviously. And generally the standard of deity worship in the temple is much higher than what householders can do at home. The point of this is to say that householders shouldn't say that, well, we have our deities at home, therefore there's no need to go to the temple. Prabhupada said, you can do that if you worship your deities at home as strictly as the deities in the temple are worshipped. Then you can say like that. That means when it's time, you know, for the family to go traveling somewhere, you just can't pack up, you know, just, okay, close the altar, off we go. No. If you indeed expect your home deity worship to be as potent as temple worship, now someone's got to stay behind, take care of the deities. And he also said that all the persons who worship the deity at home have to be of the same caliber as those who worship the deity in the temple. Then you can say, well, we have our temple at home, which is just as good as the temple. Rupa Goswami further writes, my dear foolish friend, I think that you have already heard some of the auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam, which decries seeking the results of fruitive activities, economic development, and liberation. I think that now it is certain that gradually the verses of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the pastimes of the Lord, will enter into your ears and go into your heart. We already have the essence of the 10th canto given to us by Srila Prabhupada in the form of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Krishna book. Anyone can read that book and relish Krishna's pastimes. When you develop attachment for Krishna's pastimes, then you lose your interest in the foolish activities of this world. We are here to understand God. That is the highest occupation. The deva, in the morning we've been talking about the devas and the asuras, the divine and demoniac. The devas have as their occupation, let me understand what is God. Because that is their desire, Krishna in the heart helps them to achieve it. We spoke this morning about how everyone is getting direction from the Lord. But it's the quality and type of direction that we are concerned with, because even the demons are getting direction from the Lord. You cannot be a non-devotee or a demon. You cannot be anti-Krishna. You cannot forget Krishna without Krishna's help. So, we already take it as a fact that everyone's getting direction from Krishna in the heart, but we are concerned with what kind of direction we merit. Because the Lord says, Yayatamam prapajante tamstataiva bhajamya. As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. That means Krishna will give you the direction that matches your desire. That's why bhakti yoga concerns itself with desire. Desire is the most mystical thing. The process of bhakti yoga is for changing your desire from material things to spiritual things. Your body is composed of desire. Now, if we change the desire, then you won't get another material body. Bhakti yoga is for refining and elevating, purifying your desire. Desire is a subtle form of activity. You implicate yourself in material existence by desire, and then Krishna arranges the circumstances. But because it's your desire, you're held culpable, you're held responsible. In other words, you have to be on top of your desires. You should analyze from time to time. What are my desires? What do I want? And analyze them in the light of the Shastra. Now, if this is so foolish, why do I want this? Desire is such a powerful thing. Bhakti yoga is for training your desire to the highest level so that Krishna will reciprocate with you by giving you instruction how to go back to Godhead. What does he say in Bhagavad Gita? Tesam satayuktanam vajitam priti purvakam. If you render service, Krishna says, with preeti, affection, then, and you're doing it constantly, then I'll give you the dami buddhi. I'll give you the intelligence by which you come to me. Krishna only speaks to those who have qualification. And he promises he will personally educate you how to go back to God in if you are constantly engaged in devotional service with love. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that unless one has the ability to throw out, just like garbage, the fruitive results of ritualistic ceremonies, economic development, and becoming one with the Supreme, or salvation, one cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam deals exclusively with devotional service. Only one who studies Srimad Bhagavatam in the spirit of renunciation can understand the pastimes of the Lord, which are described in the 10th canto. In other words, one should not try to understand the topics of the 10th canto, such as the Rasa Leela, love dance, unless he has spontaneous attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. One must be situated in pure devotional service before he can relish Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. So these are things a devotee should aspire for. Spontaneous attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam in a spirit of renunciation. That means, spirit of renunciation means you're cultivating detachment from material nature and attachment to Krishna. That's done through the medium of your service. Devotional service includes chanting Hare Krishna. It includes hearing about Krishna. And it includes performing activities for Krishna's pleasure. The temple is meant to be a place where it's easy to get a chance to serve Krishna. That's why people should want to live near the temple, because then they'll be near service opportunity. Relationships between devotees are based upon service. Without devotional service, everything falls apart. In the above two verses of Rupa Goswami, there are some metaphorical analogies that indirectly condemn the association of materialistic society, friendship, and love. People are generally attracted to society, friendship, and love, and they make elaborate arrangements and strong endeavors to develop these material contaminations. Can you see yourself making elaborate arrangements and strong endeavors to develop material contaminations? You can say to all your friends and acquaintances, all right, come on, help me. We're going to make elaborate arrangements and strong endeavors to develop contamination. You go home and have a meeting with your family. How are we going to do it? But then what happens? To see the Sri Murtis of Radha and Krishna is to forget such endeavors for material association. Rupa Goswami composed his verse in such a way that he was seemingly praising the material association of friendship and love and was condemning the audience of Sri Murti or Govinda. This metaphorical analogy is constructed in such a way that things which seem to be praised are condemned, and things which are to be condemned are praised. The actual import of the verse is that one must see the form of Govinda if one at all wants to forget the nonsense of material friendship, love, and society. You must see the form of Govinda, so you'll forget your material desires. Just by looking at the deity form of the Lord, your mind becomes cleansed, your heart becomes cleansed. And you don't want to make elaborate arrangements anymore for implicating yourself in material contamination. All that becomes forgotten just by looking at the deity. You begin to look at the deity from the feet. That is the proper way to approach a respectable person. But to speak of approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you begin looking at the feet and raise your vision. I'm very much hoping that here in Perth you'll gather enough serious devotees so that the deities can be installed and formally worshipped. That'll be such a boost for everyone. But that's going to require commitment, a little sacrifice. If everyone in the Perth community starts to think, how could I just push a little bit more so that the deities can be completely worshipped and we can feel that reciprocation. If everyone thinks like that, let me just, a little extra sacrifice, you'll see it happen. There has to be some desire. You can't just be trapped in, you know, well, whatever. When it happens, it happens. It'll happen when it happens. It's not my responsibility anyway. Yeah, whatever is up there on the altar is all right with me. Well, that's not a very loving attitude. You should have concern. How can we become fit for officially inviting Krishna? Officially inviting Shishi Gornitai. How can we become fit? You should make plans and discuss how you can come up to the standard, how you can provide the necessary. Well, maybe we need more devotees. But how are you going to get more devotees? If you just start thinking about how to increase the deity's pleasure, you'll see amazing things happen. If you start thinking, well, what can I do to just sacrifice a little bit more to achieve this goal? What extra commitment can I make? Otherwise, everyone said, well, that's the temple president's job to figure all that out, you know. Hey, we come by and, you know, whatever's on the altar, we, you know, okay, whatever. No, that attitude will not bring Krishna very quickly. Every devotee has to take it as his or her responsibility. How can I become qualified to do deity worship? How can I get more time? How can I arrange my life so I have more time? Especially householders. Deity worship is most important for householders, because it purifies them of material attachment and bodily identification. Instead of focusing on your own material body or your family's material bodies, you focus on Krishna's body. So we'd like that you all get a chance to focus upon the golden form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, and render them service by assisting your spiritual master. You actually don't think you're serving the deity. You think you're assisting your spiritual master in serving the deity. Sri Vigrahara Dana Nityananda Shringara Tanmandira Majana Tashyabhaktam Sanyunjita Pivandi Rusi Chandanavita. The spiritual master is enlivened when the devotees are worshipping Sri Vigraha or Sri Murti, the deity form of the Lord, assisting in the worship, dressing the deities, cleaning the temple, mandira margina. So I hope that some of you will begin to develop a desire to have Krishna here and to increase your sacrifice and commitment in such a way that Krishna will appear. Installing the deities means formalizing your commitment. Krishna is there in his picture, he's there in his murti, but archivigraha means you have made a formal invitation to the Lord. You come and we will offer regulated service without fail. Punctual, clean. Therefore, because you promised to do that, the Lord's reciprocation is more. That's why you feel special before installed deities. Because there's been commitment, the Lord reveals more. Just like in a relationship, because there's commitment, you know, the person in the relationship reveals more. So any questions? Yes.
what Maharaj said, that means that it is solely our responsibility to develop the desire. It does not automatically increase as our devotional service increases. We have to adjust our attitude and desire, but that doesn't come automatically.
It'll come automatically, but true, even if you do mechanical devotional service, the desire will slowly increase. But you can help it by being conscious about it. Since that's where you're heading, mechanically, why not put your heart into it? And make it more than mechanical. Yes, even by mechanically executing devotional service, gradually the heartfelt desires will develop. But since that's the direction you're heading in, why not, as soon as possible, put your heart into something? That makes it even better. You just need a dedicated group of serious householders, especially, to worship the deity. And in fact, it's very nice to have a Brahmin community, an enclave of householders, husband and wife, who are part of a network of Brahmanas and who support each other in that way in Brahminical activity. That's a wonderful way to associate, for families to associate. Like a guild or a trade union. Our families together, we're going to take care of the deity in the temple. That's real devotional life. And the more you become interested in the deities in the temple, the more sublime your life becomes. What are they wearing? Are they getting enough flowers? What kind of offerings are they getting? That concern should be there. Then life is so wonderful. And by that attitude, new devotees will automatically pick up on it. So, anything else? Ladies, any questions? You are staying here now or just visiting? Huh? Visiting. Oh. I'm only used to seeing you in Melbourne. In Melbourne, did the householders in the congregation have a good dedication to the deities?
Some devotees, they have deity worship. Mm-hmm. Some people have cooking, and mm-hmm. some people have folk offering and other services for the deities.
Yeah, that's very nice. Yes. So you should all develop like that here. Have commitment to the deity. That really carries you through thick and thin. And then you can remember the deities are the proprietor. We're not the proprietor, it's the deity. So even if there's some turbulence or turmoil in due to social interactions in the temple, because you understand the deities are the proprietor, you don't fly off the handle or run away. How can the servitor of the deities, the servitors of the deity run away? And then new persons automatically pick up that attitude. They become more steady and dedicated. You should give everyone that chance to see themselves as servitors of the deity. Then Krishna will reciprocate with you. Persons who live around the temple especially should become qualified to worship the deity. Those who don't live so close, at least on weekends, you can come and worship the deity. That's the pride of your family life. And certainly, for example, in so many temples in Australia, we have this sociological phenomenon of many single girls who are not yet married, but they engage in deity worship that keeps them stable. They're taking care of someone. They're taking care of the Supreme Person. Actually, everyone is female. Krishna is the only male. Many lady devotees have become very advanced just by dedication to the deity. Through thick and thin, just dressing the deity. I know in London, yes, I have one Polish god sister. She has been cooking milk sweets for Radha Gokulananda for decades. When you taste them, they're just like nectar, perfume, sandwich. Doing it decade after decade after decade. This is the nectar of Krishna consciousness. All right. Anything else? Okay. Operational problem. I think you're sure.